Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines, we discuss a few great quarterbacks that played in some various Super Bowls on February 7th, as well as many Hall of Fame legendary birthdays and stories, and it's all coming up for you in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. Welcome to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we have a great episode we're talking about today because we have some big games. Some of the biggest and most recent games in NFL history have happened on February 7th, and we're glad to bring you this great presentation of football history for the day. Now, let's get to your football history headlines. February 7th, 1988, Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. We start off today's headlines at the NFL Pro Bowl as the American Football Conference outlasted the National Football Conference by a score of 15-6. The top star in this contest was Buffalo Bills defensive end Bruce Smith, who took home the MVP award for that game. February 7th, 1993, the Pro Bowl for the NFL's 1992 season was also played at Aloha Stadium in Honolulu, Hawaii. This time, it was the AFC who triumphed as they edged out the NFC players by the tune of 23-20, close game. The game's most valuable player was Steve Tasker, the wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills. February 7th, 1999 at Aloha Stadium. The AFC East Division had once again taken home the honor of the Pro Bowl MVP award as both the New York Jets wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson and Ty Law, the cornerback of the New England Patriots, were selected for their fine play in the game. The final score of this All-Star contest was that the AFC knocked off the NFC squad 23-10 in the 1998 season's NFL Pro Bowl. Now, how about we talk about some Super Bowls? First off, February 7th, 2010, Sun Life Stadium in Miami Gardens, Miami, Florida. Super Bowl 44 was a matchup of all-time great quarterbacks as Peyton Manning and his Indianapolis Colts faced the New Orleans Saints and their most excellent signal caller, Drew Brees. The game started off with the Colts storming out to an early 10-0 run to go up by double digits, but the second quarter field goals cut the margin to a four-point game at the half. Saints head coach Sean Payton then made some major halftime adjustments, outmaneuvering those of Colts sideline boss Jim Caldwell. New Orleans decimated the Indy defense and all but kept Manning and his company from scoring even a single point in the game's back half, with 25 unanswered tallies of their own. It led to a New Orleans Saints first NFL title as they rolled the Indianapolis Colts 31-17. The Super Bowl that had the double fours, the MVP of this game was Drew Brees, according to the PFR, who threw two touchdowns and 288 yards. February 7, 2016, at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California, Peyton Manning again had a team in the NFL's championship, as he was now with the Denver Broncos, as they were faced with a matchup with Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers in Super Bowl 50. The game may have been less about these two outstanding quarterbacks and more about the defensive player for the Broncos that won the MVP. Denver linebacker Von Miller made life miserable for Mr. Newton all game, as two fumbles that Von created turned into 14 points for the Mile High team. In fact, it was the exact point differential in the game. The Denver Broncos outscored the Carolina Panthers 24-10 to seal another Lombardi in glass for the franchise. The Broncos deforced Newton into a dismal 18-41 passing and an interception. The Panthers, meanwhile, made Peyton Manning look quite pedestrian as well, as he was only 13-23 for 141 yards, and he also threw a pick. Defense does win championships, and this time it was Denver's defensive squad that did more and locked up the title for the franchise. February 7th, 2021, Tampa, Florida. Super Bowl 55 was an amazing game of storylines. First was that Tom Brady, who at the age of 43 and 11 months earlier shocked the football world, leaving his franchise of 20 years, the New England Patriots, moved on to play with the Buccaneers. Second is that he went there and changed the dynamic so quickly of that franchise that they went to the biggest game of the season, the championship of the NFL. Thirdly, the Tampa Bay Bucs became the first team to win a Super Bowl in their home stadium. Their opponents were the defending champion, Kansas City Chiefs, and no slouch at all, because they were led by young quarterback Patrick Mahomes. The aggressive defense of the Buccaneers wreaked havoc on the young quarterback all day with a series of pressure schemes that really nullified the big plays that the Chiefs' offense was used to. Final score 31-9 Buccaneers, with Tom Brady earning his fifth Super Bowl MVP award of his career and hoisting Lombardi for the seventh time in the 10 Super Bowls that he had played during his illustrious career. Now let's get to some birthdays of Hall of Famers for this February 7th. We'll start off in the year 1917. At Fort Lawn, South Carolina, the legendary Clemson Tigers halfback Banks McFadden arrived into the world. The National Football Foundation selected Banks McFadden for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1959. February 7th, 1922, North Loop, Nebraska, the University of Southern Cal's brilliant end, Paul Cleary, was born. Paul started out at Santa Clara, California Junior College in 1941 and 1942, and played there until his football career was interrupted by service for his country in the Pacific Theater of World War II. Upon his return, he went to USC. The footballfoundation.org website bio of Cleary states that he was an All-American in 1947, and his coach, Jeff Kravitz, said he's the finest end who ever played at Southern California. Paul Cleary was honored with induction into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1989 after the National Football Foundation tallied their votes. February 7th, 1934, Hartford, Connecticut. The stalwart Naval Academy two-way playing end Ron Beagle was born. Ron almost never left the field for the midshipmen during his playing days, as he blocked, tackled, and grabbed passes for the Navy teams of the mid-1950s. The NFF records that in 1953 through the 1955 seasons, Beagle caught 64 passes, mostly from George Welsh, and scored 8 touchdowns. He was an All-American twice, unanimous in 1955, and won the Maxwell Trophy, which is the most prestigious College Player of the Year award, in 1954. The National Football Foundation voters selected Ron Beagle for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1986. In an astonishing bit of fact, the footballfoundation.org website points out that Beagle and another famous player, 9 years his junior, attended the same Purcell High School in Cincinnati, Ohio, played college football at the Naval Academy, both won the Maxwell Trophy, both had the honor of All-American status, and eventually both were inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame. It happened only once, and these two men were Ron Beagle and Roger Staubach. And by the way, their birthdays are only a couple days apart, as we just discussed Roger Staubach a few days ago. February 7th, 1953, Mobile, Alabama. The awesome Jackson State linebacker Robert Brazil arrived into this life. Robert was the 6th overall pick in 1975's NFL draft by the Houston Oilers, who got the rights to that pick in a monster trade deal where they also gained Hall of Fame defensive end Curly Culp. Wow, what a payday for Houston. In that first season, Robert earned the Defensive Rookie of the Year honors while helping the Oilers achieve a record of 10-4. Brazil played 10 seasons with the Oilers franchise, helping them to gain entrance into the AFC playoffs in 3 straight seasons in the late 70s. For his career, he registered 13 interceptions and 14 fumble recoveries, as well as being a team leader in tackles. He was an All-Pro in 5 consecutive seasons and played in 7 Pro Bowl games. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Robert Brazil in what year? 2018. Once again, we are so grateful that you spent the time to join us for these football history headlines for February 7th. And we want to make sure you come back tomorrow and the days after, because we have some exciting things coming up. Starting tomorrow, we are going to start our series on the NFL jerseys and the players that wore them. We're going to have a great introduction to that with Bill Schaefer of the Gridiron Uniform Database. And we're going to talk a little about the men that wore zeros of some significance in the NFL. So it was all with your football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers, of course. And we're going to go right through. We'll do probably 3 to 4 every week until the football season starts up again in September. We're going to go zeros through 99, and we'll have some exciting guests along the way that we'll have some great interviews with, and I can't wait for you to hear them. So make sure you check that out. If you want to check out all our podcasts, like we said, some binge watching, go to pigskindispatch.com/podcasts and you'll see all of our podcasts there in one place. You can also go to the sportshistorynetwork.com. You'll see our podcast and 16 other podcasts right now. And I've probably outdated already because there's people joining constantly to talk about some sports history on the Sports History Network. And if you're interested, there's a place on there where you can contact Mr. Arnie Chapman, who is the founder, and he will get you set up and get your own podcast on the Sports History Network. It's a great team to be on, and we would look forward to having you talk about some great sports history. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day and enjoy that Super Bowl. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.